This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet. Well, hello and a warm welcome along to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. And with Jack Reeve away, sunning himself in Orlando once again, it is myself, Warren Ashurst, who's joined by Mark Langdon this week. And Mark, a lot of the talk is surrounding managerial situations at the minute. Chelsea in particular is the standout vacancy, and it looks like Frank Lampard may well be given the position on a basis until the end of the season. What's your thinking on that?
Yeah, well, I think I would have been about as shocked as if you would have said Jack Reeve was about to become the next Chelsea manager. I mean, I honestly couldn't sort of believe that this was happening. And, you know, it just completely came out of the blue. I can see the sense in sort of the fact that he's obviously got that club connection. But I would say that, look, for all Graham Potter's faults, he's proven himself to be a better coach than Frank Lampard. And so if he did want to limp on with someone until the end of the season, I think, you know, Potter would have been the better sort of those two options, if that's what you felt you were left with. From Lampard's point of view, I'm looking at it and wondering sort of where his self-respect is in some regards, because he's already been sacked by Chelsea once. And now they're just saying, oh, can you just come back and do eight matches and then we'll find, you know, 8-9 matches and then we'll find someone better in the summer. I mean, you know, that's the sort of job kind of a Roy Hodgson takes when he's 75, and not somebody that's supposed to be in the prime of their career. Now, maybe Lampard thinks, you know, he can have that kind of Di Matteo effect, win a Champions League, and they've got no option other than to give him the job on a full-time basis. And I suppose from his point of view, that's how he needs to see it, that he can be, you know, as successful as he can be. But I'm not sure, even if he won the Champions League, that they would stick with him. And I just think that this just gives further indications, actually, that Todd Boehly and the people that he's got around him don't actually know that much about the sport that they're dealing with. And that would be a concern, because they, you know, signed £500 million worth of players or whatever it sort of is, and just think that, you know, you can just throw them all together and it works. Of course, it needs a lot more than that. So I'm very surprised that Lampard is the manager. I actually thought that they played quite well under Bruno as well in midweek. So yeah, I very odd. I know the only sense I can really see is that it gets, you know, the fans up for it. The fans love Lampard. He's a club legend. Yeah. I get all of that. But, you know, I think big clubs should be making kind of bigger picture decisions than, you know, let's get the fans on side for the end of the season.
A couple of things strike me with this, Mark, as well, is that, one, if Lampard does well, are they going to be tempted to give him it again on a permanent basis? Or are they now looking at the managerial options around and thinking, well, we can't get anybody else in at the moment, let's buy ourselves some time and then let's make more of a decision in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they are thinking, well, let's bide our time. But having sort of stuck by Potter through some pretty bad results, I don't know why they didn't just stick with him until the summer, really, rather than sort of this left field decision in terms of going for Lampard. I mean, maybe, you know, Julian Nagelsmann is the first choice. He said, look, I can't do it until the summer. And Chelsea think, well, you know, if we're going to be successful over the next 5 years, what happens in the next couple of months doesn't really matter. But, you know, football very rarely works out like that, that you just wait around. And, you know, what was the point then of, you know, interviewing Luis Enrique? Yes, I mean, he was in London, wasn't he, on Wednesday for an interview. And I struggled to see why he wouldn't want to take the job now. And I'd have reservations about him if he didn't sort of want to get stuck into it now. So I'm struggling to work out the sort of thought process behind it. I mean, part of me thinks there must be one, because, you know, Chelsea are a big club and there's a lot of people making decisions there, you know, in terms of sporting directors and all the other things they've got. But then you look at the transfer policy that they went through in January, you do wonder, you know, maybe there isn't some big grand plan to suddenly, sort of the bigger picture. I mean, and, you know, Lampard's not a very big price to get the job on a permanent basis, i.e. to be there for the start of next season. He's into third favourite. I mean, that would be incredible, wouldn't it, if they went back to somebody that was deemed a failure at Chelsea and was a failure at Everton as well.
Yeah, there's big question marks hanging over Stamford Bridge at the moment. One way or another, they're going to have to make some tricky decisions over the next few months, as are the Leicester City board as well, following their decision to part company with Brendan Rodgers. I think the fact that they were in front against Palace, one of their rivals in the battle to avoid the drop mark, and then ended up losing, did you feel like it was almost inevitable that Rodgers was going to go? Or likewise with Graham Potter, who's been through some tough periods, he kind of stuck it out for a bit, and you maybe thought that he was going to see it to the end of the season.
Yeah, I can understand why Leicester did what they did. It almost just felt like the club needed a jolt, because they were just drifting towards relegation. One of those classic too good to go down when you got, Harvey Barnes and Maddison and, I suppose previously someone like Tielemans. But yeah, there is sort of more quality than you'd normally expect of a team to be relegated. And I can understand why they got rid of Rodgers, because he's somebody, when things are not going well, he's not the best, is he? That happened at Liverpool as well. And he starts digging out other people, and that very rarely sort of worked with the squad. The interesting sort of aspect for me with Leicester is, what do they do? They need to have, and I'm not saying it's, that Roy Hodgson's going to work for everybody, but they need, I think, somebody to just come in now until the end of the season. I could see, like long term, I could see Graham Potter being a perfect fit actually for Leicester, but they need somebody in there like now. And I suppose someone, Rafa Benitez, or he'd probably sort the defence out quickly, wouldn't he? I'm trying not to say the word Sam Allardyce, but it does feel like they need a caretaker, an old fashioned caretaker really, to come in, and an older head. Maybe if Redknapp was a few years younger, it would have been somebody like him. Just to come in and get them over the line, because it's hard for them to plan, isn't it, long term, Leicester, because they don't know what division they're going to be in. So I mean, they just need to get somebody in now, give them a big bonus if you keep us up, and then reassess come the summer. But they are, you mentioned that Palace game, then they lost to Villa. Those were two crunch games, really. They've still got some big home matches left that you feel might just be all right, enough for Leicester to stay up. But if they don't sort their managerial position out, I think they'll go down. So it's really important that they get somebody in.
I think I've been teleported back to the 90s when I heard Martin O'Neill being mentioned the other day as a possible starting manager as well. But like you say, it's that experience, isn't it? It's an experienced manager. They probably need to sort of take the helm at the moment.
I could see the O'Neill. I could, because O'Neill would unite the fans, wouldn't he? And, I think he's a good manager for a relegation battle. I haven't seen him for a while now, but I'm assuming he's still sort of got those motivational skills that worked, for a long time. I don't think he's, I think maybe sort of progressive football has maybe sort of passed him by, but Leicester don't need somebody to be thinking about progressive football at the moment. They just need somebody to, beat the likes of Bournemouth on Saturday.
We'll talk about the top four battle in a moment or so's time, but let's talk about relegation, because we've mentioned Leicester there, of course. And well, we'll start off with another manager who's under immense pressure at the moment, and that's David Moyes, after West Ham's hammering at the hands of Newcastle in midweek. It's a difficult situation for West Ham at the moment. Moyes has done such a terrific job over the last couple of years, Mark, getting them into Europe, but now they're teetering on the edge of potential relegation.
Yeah, they are. They are. Again, whenever they've needed that win in sort of big home games, they've got it, haven't they? Southampton was a good example of that. He was under big pressure going into that match. I thought they were awful, absolutely dreadful, despite beating Southampton. So while I didn't expect 5-1, the score to be, it was pretty obvious if they played the same way against Southampton they did against Newcastle, they'd lose, because and they just chuck in, the odd, real vital one where they need to win. Everton, Nottingham Forest, they've won those home games, haven't they? And I think that is what they're going to be kind of relying on, just winning the games they sort of need to win, if you like, those sort of six-pointers. And they probably have got enough quality to do that. I always wary of teams that pick and choose their victories and games that they fancy winning. But there probably is enough in the final third to keep them up. But somebody's, I expect Southampton to go down. I think we've been pretty negative on Forest for a while, and You know, they're looking like a team that's in trouble. That last position, I think, is wide open because Bournemouth are definitely not as bad as they were at the start of the season. And if they can just pick up a couple of wins, that drags somebody into it. And whether it's, you know, Everton are picking up under Sean Dyche, aren't they? So, you know, and West Ham have got to be careful. West Ham and Leicester, the idea of one of them going down and being in the Championship next season, yeah, that would not have been on anybody's mind, I don't think, at the start of the season, would it? So, I mean, it would be absolute disaster time for either of those two to be relegated. And you would have to say that at the moment, they're not playing as if they're too good to go down.
No, it looks like a real worrying time for the West Ham fans and for David Moyes at the moment. I'm just wondering, Mark, whether goals might prove crucial in the end. I mean, you look at the table as it stands and the likes of Leicester and Leeds stand out in terms of goals scored. All of the rest of the teams really down there have struggled for goals this season. You wonder where they're going to find them from in the remaining couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to have to grind it out. But very interesting. We've got an article going in the Racing Post on Friday or on racingpost.com from our analyst Simon Giles on where it all went wrong for Brendan Rodgers. And one of the issues he's kind of pointed out is sort of their goals. You're right to say Leicester have scored a lot of goals comparative to the other teams down at the bottom, but they've actually not scored them in very many matches. Only Manchester City and Arsenal have scored four in a game more often this season than Leicester. So they're almost wasting it. You know where some teams can, you know, you can win 1-0 and you get 3 points. Leicester are winning 4-0 or 4-1 or 4-2, and then they're kind of getting beat. And so they need to be more efficient with the way that they share their goals around, if you like.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Looking at the top four, it's almost as unpredictable as it is at the bottom at the moment. A win for Manchester United over Brentford in midweek means that they've moved into the top four along with Newcastle. And below them, chasing hard now, Tottenham, Brighton, even Aston Villa come into the equation. And it looks like Liverpool may well have too much to do. How do you see it at the moment, Mark?
Yeah, I disagree with you here, Warren. I don't think it's that close, really. I just think Man United and Newcastle will end up in the top four. I mean, Tottenham and Liverpool both, I mean, their performances on Monday and Tuesday were not very good. And I would struggle to see either finishing in the top four. Brighton, I love the way they play football. And even though they're a bigger price than Tottenham and Liverpool, I'd actually think that they maybe got more chance than that those sort of two bigger clubs of getting into the top four. They've got a really difficult sort of schedule of matches that might you know, undo them. But I'm looking at Spurs and Liverpool. I don't even want to talk about Tottenham too much. If we can avoid that would be, and I'm sure as a Liverpool fan, Warren, you'd rather sort of not talk about them either. So I mean, both are having shocking seasons. And Newcastle, you know, they spent a lot of money. They spent an absolute fortune, but if you since the Saudi takeover, but you look at some of the players there that Eddie Howe has, you know, brought in, they're not superstar players and he's developed them. And they're two separate arguments. There's the one, on the one hand, you've got the, you know, the Saudi investment and whether teams should be allowed, you know, to be owned by states and whether they are owned by them and all of that kind of off-field nonsense. And you just look at what Eddie Howe has done as a football coach, and he's done a brilliant job because, you know, Fabian Scher, Dan Burn, there wasn't a massive queue, was there, for Botman. You know, Willock wouldn't probably be getting into any of the other sort of top five, top six teams. Joe Linton has turned from a striker into this, you know, all-conquering midfielder. The big money they spent on Guimaraes has worked out. If Ishak doesn't score, you know, Wilson's a different type of threat up front. St. Maximin's a lovely watch. And then you've got somebody like Murphy who, you know, you wouldn't necessarily put down as a Champions League player, and Eddie Howe's, you know, making the most out of him as well. So I think he has done a brilliant job. Absolutely fantastic.
Totally agree. Absolutely a brilliant effort from Eddie Howe and his Newcastle players this season, and they look like they're on course for a top four finish. Coming up next, we'll have a look ahead to the weekend of Premier League action. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with CopyBet. A sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org. Okay, so let's start off then with the match of the day in this latest round of Premier League fixtures. And undoubtedly, it's Sunday's 4:30 clash at Anfield. It's Liverpool against Arsenal. And who at the start of the season would have predicted that Arsenal will be sat at the top of the table and Liverpool looking like they're going to miss out on the top four. In terms of the prices for this game with Copybet, Liverpool 7-4 to claim the victory. Arsenal 13-10 to take the points. And the draw is 13-5. And let's start off looking at the home team then, Mark, because at the moment, Jurgen Klopp looks like he's in a bit of a whirlwind here, thinking, what do I do? Do I stick with the players who have dealt and done well for me over the last few years? Or, as he did against Chelsea, does he make a number of changes, try and shake things up? And in all honesty, there wasn't a huge difference between one game and another.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I missed like the first couple of minutes of that game against Chelsea on, was it Tuesday, wasn't it? And my brain was trying to work out like who was on the pitch for Liverpool. I was like, where's Salah? Where's Van Dijk? Where's, you know, Alexander Arnold? Where's Robertson? It just felt like a League Cup team that Klopp had picked. And had they lost by a couple of goals, as they should have done, the chances Chelsea missed, really should have been a comfortable home win. I think Klopp would have received a lot of flack. As it was, points not a bad result at Stamford Bridge, but how they went about it was, I think, a big concern. Against Manchester City, they got close to City, hadn't they, in previous years? And by the end of that game at the Etihad last week, the gap between them was obvious. And I've sort of always been on the more positive side of Liverpool's bad season, thinking they've had a lot of injuries. Been a weird campaign, the World Cup. Last year, because they played in every possible game, they just, they've maybe just gone to the well one too many times, and everything would be okay sort of come next season because Klopp's a great manager. They've got top players. And the more you watch them sort of drift this season, it does make you wonder just how big a job Klopp has got in the summer. How many midfielders does he need to buy? It might be, the answer might be like three. And how do you afford that? It's difficult, isn't it?
I was going to say there, Mark, was that the Chelsea game was the first time that I'd seen Liverpool players almost getting frustrated with each other over certain incidents. Up till now, there's been almost an acceptance that, okay, we made a mistake and that's what happens. But there was that frustration growing. And like you say, anybody with a better strike force than Chelsea, a la Arsenal at the weekend, would have made them pay.
Yeah, they absolutely would. And, Alisson made some very important saves. There's a couple of close VAR calls that, wasn't much in it. And then, I still look at that Liverpool sort of forward line and think there's a lot to like about Salah, Nunez, Diaz when he's back, Jota, Gakpo. So it's not all doom and gloom for Liverpool. Those sort of five can certainly carry a big threat next season. It's just like the way that they don't press in midfield now makes the defence so much more vulnerable because they want to defend with a high line, but the high line only works if you defend, from that front. And, teams seem to have either worked that out or the pace and effort has just dropped from Liverpool to such an extent that, you can't play the way that they did and were so successful for the whole 90 minutes. And there is also that question mark over Van Dijk and his standards and whether they've just dropped from, being the world's best defender to just being kind of, a very good Premier League one. And that can be very problematic for the way that Klopp wants these teams to play. There are question marks for sure about where Liverpool are heading. And then you look at sort of, top four next season. I mean, Man City are not going to finish outside of the top four, are they, next season? You would expect Arsenal to get better. It's a young team. Manchester United will presumably throw a few quid at it and, get a new striker in that maybe takes them up a level. Newcastle are not going to stop spending. Chelsea will probably go again. All of a sudden, from being a team that was winning titles and pushing Man City all the way, they'd be looking sort of in the rear view mirror, just wondering how many teams might go past them.
Yeah, that certainly could be the case. Let's have a look then at Arsenal, though, who have no such worries at the moment. Every time Manchester City play before them, they seem to react and in a positive manner and sort of match the results. A big month, though, for Arsenal now. This is where, really, we used to hear Sir Alex Ferguson call it squeaky bum time, Mark. It's getting to that crucial stage of the season where every game counts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at sort of the next six for Arsenal in the Premier League, Liverpool away, West Ham away. Now, obviously, West Ham have got their own problems at the moment, but traditionally, that would be a hard match for the kind of, you know, the biggest London teams. It's still a London derby. Southampton at home, okay, you would expect 3 points there. Then they go away to Manchester City. They've got Chelsea at home and Newcastle away. Of course, Newcastle was where it all fell apart for Arteta's team last season. So you would, and then even after that, you know, it's Brighton at home, and Brighton are a tricky team to play against. So those next seven games, I would imagine if they're still on top after those seven games, you know, Forest away, Wolves at home, you would expect them to complete the job. So you're right to say a really big month ahead. They're showing no signs of nerves or bottling it or any of those kind of things that often get thrown at teams when they're in this position and they start to wobble. The doubt would come in if they do have a bad result because of the way they play and the confidence that you need to be able to play the way that they do. If you suddenly have a couple of bad results, would they sort of be able to play in that same manner, you know, after losing two in a row? But we just haven't seen it so far. I said a couple of months ago when it was, you know, almost basically 50-50 that I'd rather be in Arsenal shoes. I'd still rather be in Arsenal shoes than Manchester City. It is a tough little run they've got coming up, but they're not playing like they were a 50-1 shot at the start of the season. I think you just have to accept that, you know, they're much better than that. And you know, why can't they go on and win it? I would you know, for anybody that says, oh, I still fancy Man City, I'd be like, well, why not Arsenal? You know, where are they going to drop points? Against that, maybe it comes against Liverpool, because Anfield is you know, a horrible place for visiting teams to go.
Yeah, and they haven't got a good record either at Liverpool, so it may well be this weekend. Ironically, next weekend, a lot of the front runners will be jumping big fences at Aintree. This could be a big fence for Mikel Arteta's side. So what's your best bet for this game, Mark?
So this is going to, given everything I've said for the last 5 minutes, this is going to surprise you. But I actually think that Liverpool at 7-4 is an interesting price at home. I'm actually going to go for Liverpool draw, no bet. As outsiders at home, I would take Liverpool, you know, against anyone. They've already beaten City at Anfield. They're a completely different team at home to what they are away. I don't think the Kop will allow Liverpool to play, say, the way they did against Chelsea. They've rested a number of the big hitters. I'm expecting a bigger performance from Liverpool. And I also wonder, from sort of Arsenal's state of mind here, draw's not a bad result, is it? You know, if they can escape with a point, I think they'd probably take that, as you say, for their record there. And I suppose that the one thing I would also just point as a slight negative for Arsenal is that they have lost against Manchester City, albeit in the FA Cup, and they did lose at Old Trafford. And this is a similar type game for them. So they have passed. This is not a case here, I'm saying, of Arsenal sort of bottling it or choking, any of that nonsense. I just think at the prices, as outsiders, I would take Liverpool to get a positive result at home.
That's it for the big game of the weekend. Let's now look at the rest of the Premier League action. So Saturday's early kickoff at 12:30 sees Manchester United come up against Everton at Old Trafford. United 12-25 with their copy bet. The draw is 16-5 and Everton as big as 5-1. Any chance of an upset here, Mark?
There is a chance for an upset because Everton have improved recently. You know, four unbeaten, includes draws against Brentford, Chelsea and Tottenham. But I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals as the best bet. You know, Manchester United lack goals really outside of Marcus Rashford. And I'm pretty sure we know what Sean Dyche's tactics are going to be for this game. And seven of their last 10 games, Everton have been under 2.5 goals.
Well, we've got no fewer than six matches taking place at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We've seen some real drama over the last few weeks at 3 o'clock kickoffs, and we'll probably get some again this weekend. Let's start off with the clash at Villa Park. Aston Villa against the Nottingham Forest team, who are on a slippery slope at the moment, Mark, and are going to find it hard to try and get back up the table.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Villa to win. I think they'll be safe enough for the Akkers. Even Forest are on a terrible run, and it's not an unlucky run. They've lost 8 of their last 9 games on expected goals as well. They've lost 10 of 14 away games in the Premier League this season. They've scored 5 goals in those 14 matches. So I thought Aston Villa were fair enough, really, at home to win this one.
Yeah, Villa are 13-20. The draw is 16-5, and it's 21-5 for Nottingham Forest with Copybet. Brentford against Newcastle looks like an absolute cracking game. Newcastle with 5 in midweek. Brentford have been amongst the goals as well of late. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Well, I can give you a little sneak preview because I was over Canary Wharf this morning driving into the office. I park at Canary Wharf and I saw the Newcastle team coach. So I'm presuming they're staying down in London ahead of this game against Brentford on Saturday. So I think that's the right manoeuvre for them. If they're in the Marriott, so they don't want to eat the lasagna, I can tell them that much. presuming that they stay clear of the lasagna, they will actually fancy their chances of winning the game. But Brentford, you need to respect them. You know, Arsenal are the only team in the Premier League to have won at Griffin Park this season. So I was going to go for the draw. Full respect to Newcastle. Brentford don't lose many at home.
They don't. Brentford are 12-5 to win this. The draw 23-10. And Newcastle are 21-20. Huge game at the bottom of the table to come in a moment. But firstly, Fulham against West Ham again has implications at the bottom. West Ham, of course, fighting for their lives. Fulham looked like over the last couple of weeks, they've kind of slipped out of that push for Europe, especially with Mitrovic and Willian missing out through suspension. Can West Ham get anything out of this game, Mark?
I think they might. I'm going to go for a draw again. I mean, Fulham have lost 4 on the spin, as you said, no Mitrovic. Willian coming back is a positive, but does feel like they're sort of drifting slightly towards the end of the campaign. West Ham need a performance after what happened on Wednesday. They're quite a negative team on the road. So I'm not saying I'm expecting them to win, but I think David Moyes would happily take a point. And have Fulham got that attacking personnel to unlock them without Mitrovic? I'm not so sure.
The draw is 85-40 with Copybet for Fulham against West Ham. Now, that huge game at the bottom is at the King Power Stadium. Managerless Leicester City against Bournemouth. Really, really tricky game in terms of the tension that's going to be surrounding both of these two teams. Leicester 4-5 going into the match. The draw 13-5 and Bournemouth 3-1. Where are you going here, Mark?
I'm going for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, which has happened in 5 of Leicester's last 6 home games. But ordinarily, like, you would be thinking this is a game for Leicester to win. But their form has just been so bad since the World Cup, worse in the Premier League. It's hard to trust them at odds on. So I expect Leicester to go for it because it is such an important game. Don't really fancy them to ever keep a clean sheet. So, yeah, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals.
Tottenham against Brighton is next on the list. Spurs 31-20 to win with Copybet. The draw is 13-5 and Brighton are 17-10. Can Spurs get the result to keep them in touch with those top four chasers? Or is it going to be very tricky, Mark, against the Brighton team who are in really good nick at the moment?
It'll be very tricky. I mean, it's going to be a poisonous atmosphere at White Hart Lane, that's for sure. And not going to be improved by the fact that Brighton are going to be popping the ball around those pedestrian sort of players for most of it. But I've said it before, I'll say it again, very difficult to oppose Tottenham because the market absolutely hates them. You can see that in the prices for this game. Who would have thought Brighton, who would have thought that Brighton could be sort of favourites and they might be at kickoff to beat Tottenham away from home? So it's difficult. I'd struggle to sort of put Brighton up as a bet in this game just because of the price kind of reflects, I think, where both teams are heading. So I was looking just at both teams to score. Brighton have scored in 16 of their 18 away games this season. So, yeah, but sort of jostling for favouritism at Tottenham might be a bit of a push to suggest they're a good bet.
There might be goals at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Not convinced there'll be too many in the game at Molineux. It's Wolves against Chelsea. Both sides have been struggling in front of goal. Wolves are 29-10 to win the game with Copybet. The draw is 23-10 and it's 10-11 Chelsea. What's your thoughts here, Mark?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to back Chelsea at 10-11. So I'll go for Wolves or draw, double chance, you know, for Wanderers not to lose this game. Chelsea have got Real Madrid in midweek. The whole season rests on the Champions League. And we've already seen that they really struggle to score goals. And who knows, you know, we're speaking before Lampard has been officially confirmed. Who knows if that will be a positive or a negative. But there's much more riding on this game for Wolves, who, you know, are capable at Molineux. We've seen that. They've beaten Liverpool and Tottenham under Lopetegui. So this could be a tricky one for Chelsea. And I wouldn't want to back them odds on, that's for sure.
Saturday's late game sees the bottom club against second in the table, Southampton against Manchester City. It's not often you see a home team 10-1 to pick up the 3 points in the Premier League, Mark, and it's probably hard to make a case for Saints.
Yeah, I mean, well, the only case you can make is they beat City in the EFL Cup, didn't they, under Nathan Jones, probably the one sort of bright spot under him. I mean, Southampton failed to score in three of their last four matches against West Ham. Their expected goals figure was 0.3, created very little. So I'm going to put a zero by Southampton, not on the end of their price. I don't think they should be 100-1, but a zero on their score. And I mean, I think it's just guess the correct score. I'll go Man City 3-0, but not a great betting heat this one.
No. And we've already talked, of course, about Liverpool-Arsenal on Sunday. The other Premier League game kicks off at 2 o'clock, and that's Leeds against Crystal Palace at Elland Road. Another huge game at the bottom end of the table. Leeds are 21-20 to win. The draw 23-10, and Palace are 5-2. What's tempting you here, Mark?
Both teams have scored. Not something you'd say very often in Crystal Palace matches, but Leeds have kept only one clean sheet in their last 12. And Palace had over 30 shots against Leicester. So, I mean, maybe Roy Hodgson at 75 has found a new way of playing. But I was very impressed with that stat from Palace. And yeah, I just think whenever Leeds are playing, it doesn't overly matter about the other team. You know, they're never a team you fancy to keep clean sheets, but they've got goals in them.
They have indeed. And that is your card marks well and truly for all the Premier League action across the weekend. Up next, Joe Casey will deliver his best EFL bets for the weekend.
And now I'm joined by my Racing Post colleague, Joe Casey, to talk all things EFL. Joe, you're stepping in for Dan Charles, who's away on his Easter break at the moment. You're presumably cock-a-hoop at your beloved Geordies, you know, racing into what looks like Champions League action. But we're here to talk all things EFL today. What would be your best bet?
Yeah, hopefully I can fill these big shoes that Dan Charles has left. Well, first off, we're starting with the early kickoff in the Championship, Millwall Luton. It's a very tight game in the playoff race, and the bookies are kind of struggling to split them. The three outcomes in the game, you know, the home win, away win, and draw are all pretty competitively priced, but I think Luton are the value. They're coming much better form. They've won five of their last seven games, and they're one of the best away teams in the division. Only Sheffield United have won more on the road than Luton, and they've been rock solid at the back. In recent times, they've only conceded three goals in the last seven games. Rob Edwards obviously got them playing really good football, and they've only lost once in the league in 2023, and that was to runaway leaders Burnley. So they look like they've got a solid chance away at Millwall, and I think maybe the prices haven't quite reflected that. You know, they beat Watford last time out, a big derby victory, obviously with the added spice of Rob Edwards getting the sack from there earlier in the season. And, you know, Millwall have only won two of their last six. They're kind of treading water a little bit in that congested playoff race. And I think Luton can pick up another crucial win in that race for the top six.
And it's worth saying, of course, that all these games are on Friday in the EFL. They're playing Friday and Monday. So if you do want to get your bets on for EFL, make sure you get them done before you've done your Easter egg hunt. So we've got Luton in there. How many other selections have we got, Joe?
Just the two.
Okay, go on, rattle through them.
We're dropping down to League One for the next one. And I'm siding with Plymouth. They had a bit of a nightmare last weekend, obviously getting beat 4-0 by Bolton in the EFL Trophy final. It looked a little bit like they were kind of overawed by the occasion, maybe. 2-0 down after 10 minutes. They just looked like all the wind taken out of them, and they just never recovered after that. So I think you can kind of write that game off as a bit of a one-off. You know, cup finals sometimes just don't, as Newcastle fans know, cup finals sometimes just don't go your way. But, you know, they're in great form in the league. You know, they've got a game in hand, a level on points with top of the league, and they've got a game in hand. So, you know, they've got a really good chance of winning the third tier. And no team in the division has won more games than Plymouth. And they couldn't really ask for a much better game to, you know, forget about losing a cup final than Morecambe, who've been pretty poor this season. They've lost four of their last five games. They've got the third worst defensive record in the division. And they were beaten by Barnsley 5-0 last time out. They've got a bit of a habit, Morecambe, where if they get beat, they tend to get really battered. They've conceded at least three in seven of their last nine defeats. So I'm going to go for Plymouth and over 2.5 goals. I think, you know, if Plymouth do get going, you know, only Ipswich have scored more than the Green Army this season in the third tier. And, you know, Morecambe tend to kind of roll over a little bit if they get battered. So if you fancy more Plymouth to win, the odds on to win. But, you know, you can get a bit more value by going for the over 2.5 goals as well.
Cool. Okay. So we've got Plymouth and over 2.5 and Luton to beat Millwall. And how do we round off the Good Friday action?
Well, we'll round off the Good Friday action with, you know, probably one of the biggest games of the weekend. Borough versus Burnley, which is the obviously the late kickoff on telly on Friday night. First against third. Obviously, Burnley are pretty much, you know, nailed on for the title at this point, 11 points clear. But they've got a tricky weekend. They've got second and third across the Easter weekend. They're 11 points clear of Sheffield United. And realistically, the Blades probably need them to lose both of the games across this little period if they are to pip them to the title. But, you know, they'll need to keep up to their work, you know. And Borough, you know, they're on a great run. They'll keep them up to their work, definitely, because they're only 6 points off Sheffield United in second. So, you know, after a pretty poor start of the season under Chris Wilder, Michael Carrick's come in and, you know, he's really got them playing great football. They had a bit of a kind of bolt from the blue, kind of a championship result last weekend, getting beat by Huddersfield 4-2. But they'll be looking to, you know, get back to winning ways on home soil now. But the angle I was looking at for this game was overs. Which is odds against over 2.5 goals. These are the first and second top scorers in the division. They've scored 145 goals between them this season. And eight of Borough's last 10 have gone over. And they've averaged 3.7 goals a game across that run. The reverse fixture was 3-1 to Burnley. And, you know, both teams have got plenty to play for still. And, you know, it's a really competitive promotion race, particularly with Sheffield United, Luton and Borough all getting involved. And I think, yeah, they could put on a bit of a show on them Friday night. And, you know, they both know their way to goal, you know. And but Burnley can, you know, away from home, really punish teams. And Borough showed last time out against Huddersfield, you know, conceding four to a struggling team like that, that occasionally they can be vulnerable. So I just thought it was interesting that was odds against for over 2.5, considering their attacking quality.
Yeah, there's a lot of football on the telly on Friday, so hopefully, you know, Sky have saved the best until last. So thanks very much for that, Joe. So we've got over 2.5 goals in Middlesbrough against Burnley, Plymouth to beat Morecambe, and over 2.5 goals, and also Luton to beat Millwall.
Yeah, that's Joe Casey's thoughts then on the best EFL bets across the weekend. Massive weekend of EFL action with fixtures on both Good Friday and Easter Monday. We're going to cap off this latest Bets Club with Mark's regular run through of the best bets over the weekend. Starting, Mark, with the player prop shop.
Yeah, so we're going to go for Jared Bowen to have a shot on target in the game for West Ham against Fulham. If you look at Bowen, he is definitely the biggest sort of, I suppose, goal sort of threat, really, for the Hammers at the moment. Against Newcastle, he had 2 shots. Against Southampton, he had 4. Now, none of those were on target. But I think the real important thing here is that he's having shots. And, you know, generally speaking, if you have enough shots away, eventually they'll start hitting the target. In 6 of West Ham's last 7 Premier League games, he has had at least the joint most efforts in terms of that West Ham team. So a lot of the good play that West Ham do, they haven't really had much good play, but any of the sort of good stuff that comes from West Ham tends to be with Bowen. So we're going to go for him to have a shot on target.
And this week's long shot, what are you looking at here, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to take on Paris Saint-Germain. They've lost 6 of their last 10 games. I mean, it's an absolute joke for a team with that much talent. And 2 of those 4 that they won, they won in the last minute. So, I mean, absolutely no hurry whatsoever to bet them odds on to win away at Nice. The fans are on the back of Messi. He's being booed. The coach knows he's on his way out. Sporting director's probably following him. Just not a great ingredients for backing an odds-on shot.
The fact that PSG win the title and they're in absolutely tatters at the moment, it tells its own story.
Well, they're only 6 points clear. So, I mean, if they do lose this game against Nice, maybe we've got a title race on our hands.
Yeah, potentially could have. And obviously, Lionel Messi's future still up in the air as things stand. Let's have a look at the treble then, which will be enhanced by CopyBet this week, Mark.
Yeah, so it's going to be enhanced to 4-1, and listeners can find the boost under the enhanced odds section of the website. You need to be manually added to the bet slip to create the treble, and the 3 teams are Aston Villa to beat Nottingham Forest. I mean, Villa are in, you know, really good nick at the moment, 1-5 and drawn 1 of their last 6. Going for both teams to score in Tottenham against Brighton. Brighton, 9 of their last 11 Premier League away games, I've seen both teams to score. And then one of the games on Friday, Stoke to beat Bristol City. Stoke are one of the form teams in the Championship. 1-3 and drawn against Middlesbrough and Norwich in their last 5 matches. They've had 37 shots on target in those 5 games. So, Alex Neil, it's taken a long while to get the sleeping giant that is Stoke sort of awake in the Championship. But maybe Alex Neil is doing just that, and that they might be a team to watch out for next season.
Yeah, certainly looks that way at the moment. And we're going to wrap up today's Bets Club with Mark's nap of the weekend.
Yeah, we've won a European Cup, and we don't like to talk about it, derby between Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest. But I just think that these two teams are heading in like way different directions. And I actually thought Aston Villa would be shorter than they are. So I'm happy to take them to win the game. If you do want to boost the price, then you might want to look at the -1, because we've seen Forest, get beaten convincingly in sort of away games recently at Tottenham and at West Ham. But I'm happy enough to just take Villa to win the game. Forest away from home, been terrible for most of this season, lost 10 of their 14 in the top flight. And the pressure's growing on Steve Cooper, and it might be growing even more after this game.
Yeah, it might well be. And just to reiterate, Mark's enhanced treble selection was Aston Villa to beat Nottingham Forest, both teams to score between Tottenham and Brighton, and Stoke to beat Bristol City in the Championship. It's goodbye from myself and from Mark, but don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. And of course, we'll be back next week for another Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet. Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.